Just open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, God. We thank you, God, for the work that you're doing, God, and preparing us as a church, God, to just do that what you've commanded us to do, God, in the Great Commission, God, to go and make disciples, God. And Lord God, we are going to remain faithful to this commission that you've given us, God, so that we will be here on the day that your kingdom comes, God, on earth as it is in heaven, God. I ask that you would just let this word be your word today, God. Let it touch your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to wait for a minute. Just feel God's doing something. I hope that at this point we've really come to understand the importance of what is going on. That I understand, you know, a lot of people say, well, you're not pastor, and you're, you know, God's just speaking to you and giving you some messages, and you're really focusing on a different thing. If you're seeing a vessel, or you're seeing a pastor, or, you know, you're seeing me, then you're really not seeing what God's doing here. Because it's not me, it's not pastor, it's not anybody other than Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is him speaking, not me. I'm simply good listener, and I'm good, you know, public speaker, one that's equipped well enough to actually hear what God says and say, okay, here's what God said. That's it. And you know, we've been walking and we've been listening to what God's saying about the kingdom principles that he's given us to equip us to actually follow through with these principles that he's given us. And when we've uncovered, you know, the first principle of listening, the second principle of loving what God loves, the third principle of building, we're getting to a point now where we have to understand that this is succinctly a design that God's built. Not a man design, but a God design. Okay? And when we've gone through the building, which was last Sunday, and we learned what we're building, that we're building the kingdom. We're building the kingdom that Jesus himself started building back when he called out the disciples to not be fishermen, but to be fishers of men. There's a lot that we can understand, because what happened then was just an awakening or a resurgence of what has been going on. The building process started way back in the garden when God made man and made woman, and that building process began, okay? This building process has been going on for many, many years. The problem is not the fact that we don't know how to build. It's actually the fact that we don't know how to maintain what we've built. So today what we're going to learn about is how to maintain what we built. Because maintenance, if we don't maintain what we build, we end up with religion in the kingdom. And that's exactly what Christ came and preached against. Because he understood that which was built back in the garden has been corrupted because it was not being maintained on the standard that God built back in the garden. He gave Moses 10 commandments to help maintain his people, and they couldn't follow them. And therefore more religion was created. They create religions just about following the 10 commandments. It's called Judaism. It's not good enough to just create a religious background and say, I'm maintaining, or this is how I'm maintaining. I did. So what we're going to start with today in maintain, okay, in the principle of maintain, is take a look at what it is that we're actually responsible for maintaining. And now when I say we are responsible, that doesn't mean it's a you and Jesus thing. Because if you believe that you and Jesus can maintain all that he's giving to you, you are really, really in a bad spot, because that's not going to happen. You actually need brothers and sisters. That's why he created the discipleship process in the Great Commission, because you can't build alone, and you surely can't maintain alone. It's impossible. So, we're going to start there. What is it that we maintain? Well, what did we build? What did we find out that we built last Sunday? What is it that we're responsible to build into the lives of others? There's three major things. Tree. Anybody remember? Three major things that we're responsible to build. Anybody? I know there's a lot of people that were here that aren't here this time because, you know, we have junior church, the junior church shuffle, as we call it, right? A little shuffle. All right, I'll bail yous out this time. Faith, hope, and love. Thank you, Miss Holly. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Okay, so we're responsible to build faith, hope, and love. So what are we responsible to maintain then? Faith, hope, and love. So what is faith? Faith is what we believe. It is the standard of what we believe. Okay, we've all accepted Jesus Christ, hopefully, and by faith, you believe. Right? We walk in faith. Alright, so that's what we believe. What's hope? What is hope? Hope is what you believe in. Hope is actually looking forward. There's something to believe in. What do we believe in? We believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back and pull us out of here, and we're going to dine and party in heaven, and then we're going to rule and reign. Over what? Over the kingdom. That's what is hoped for. That's what we hope for. That's why we continue to do what we do right now. Because if we don't do what we're doing right now, will Christ come? No. We have a responsibility now and a hope in a victory that he's promised us. But we have to walk that out. We can't just exist. It doesn't work that way. So hope is what we believe in. Love is what enables us to believe. Without love, you have nothing. Without love, you have no God. Because God is love. So these three entities are crucial in building the kingdom of God, because without them, we cannot be we. Then it's just you. And if you're building your kingdom, you're going to be booted out of God's kingdom real quick. Because that's a craven image or an idol. So if we look at maintenance, and the only thing I could really think of that helps understand maintenance, and we talked about the temple, and we talked about building a temple, and we talked about Solomon's temple, and the best thing I could think of about maintaining is a house, a building. Maintaining a building. If you have something that's cracked or leaks, or you have something that's not working correctly, you have to go and fix it. This is known as regular maintenance, right? We all have to do this. We do this on our cars. We do this in our house. We do this with our relationships, right? If you don't pick up the phone and call somebody in 12 years, do you know what they're doing or how they're doing? No, you maintain a relationship. How? You go and you see how they're doing, okay? Well, just like in a house, if your plumbing's leaky, you don't go get a hammer and nails. That's the wrong tools for the wrong job. So just like we see that there's these three major components that we're building, faith, hope, and love, there's also correct ways to maintain faith, maintain hope, and maintain love. And if we don't do these correctly, we actually end up damaging or causing more harm than we do any good. We can actually destroy what we built simply by wrongful maintenance or lack of maintenance. And if we don't maintain at all, well, what happens to a house if you don't maintain it? It crumbles. It falls apart. So this is why maintenance is so important, but there's more to even that. But let's talk about what actual maintenance is, and let's take a look at it from a scriptural point, because definitionally, if you pull up the word maintenance and you look it up in the definitions or in the dictionaries, you'll see that most of the definitions talk about keeping something or sustaining something. Now, not that maintaining something doesn't mean you keep it or you sustain it, but there's a problem with that as far as what we read in Scripture, because God does never really want us to stop. Maintaining or standing still is actually not what we're to do. I mean, there's time and place for standing still. If you're not sure, you haven't heard God, you stand still and you wait on God. That's in Scripture. But most of what God commands us to do is to move forward. We're to go forward. We're to take the land. We're to do things. So maintaining, sometimes people mistaken what maintain means. And so we're going to get to that. But what we're going to go to is 2 Timothy. And I'm going to start at 3. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And then move down into 4. We all heard this and we know this pretty well. Hopefully most of us can probably recite it without even actually having to turn to it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There's a lot to hear in what Paul's charge to Timothy is here. Now, you can read into this a lot of different ways. You can say, well, this is Paul's charge to Timothy because, you know, he's preaching the gospel. And he's preparing him on the methods in which to preach. Well, that's true. He is preparing him for the methods to which to preach. But what about the relationships and things that he's already built and established? Because Timothy's already been doing this. This isn't something that just happened. He's already been doing it. So if he's already been building and he's already been doing, then there's also more in here than just the new things that God's going to do with Timothy. It's also taking care of what has been. And so the important part about this is really at the very end, which he is referring to the actual end time approach, or what is going to happen as the dark days come. And that is that people are going to not want to hear truth. There is going to come a point in time where, and you may even want to argue the fact that we're already kind of in that time right now, and I could agree with you in certain stance, but there is a reason why we have to maintain. Because if we do not, that will happen. The outcropping of no maintenance or lack of maintenance is that people will be turned away from the kingdom of God. Souls will be lost. There will be casualties because there's lack of maintenance. And that's not just lack of maintenance personally, but that's lack of maintenance as a responsibility of us to each other. I look at the body. I look at what the human body does. What does the human body do if one part's ill? It sends white blood cells. Do the white blood cells come from that area? No. They come from another area. Help comes from another area. All parts of the body help other parts of the body when they're weak. So if we're not actually seeking out the weak areas of our body, our collective body, and looking to maintain that which is damaged or unhealthy, then we're not doing our job. And as a disciple to a disciplee, you should be like chewing at the bit to maintain, because after all, you're the one that put that building process in motion. You and the Holy Spirit built that into that person's life. And now the enemy wants to come and take it away. So I'm going to jump in and I'm going to maintain when you drop the ball, but I'm not going to continue to do so either. See, there comes a point in time where you have to be responsible for you too. What's the definition of an idiot? Someone who does the same thing over and over again expecting a different result. Well, I can actually help you prevent that process, but if you want to continue in it, I can't help you then. There is a duality in maintenance. Maintenance comes from me to another, and then also comes from yourself. You have to be responsible for the maintenance as well as I'm responsible for the maintenance in you. So we have to understand as a collective group, as the body, Christ is the head, we're the body, we have to work as a body. We have to help each other, we have to understand that we're all in it together. It's not a me and Jesus thing. So if it's not a me and Jesus thing, you can't do it by yourself, but you are responsible. You are responsible because you're a part of the body. Okay? And if we're trying to prevent a threat, then we need to be really adamant about maintaining that which is built. It's that important because once something's built, the enemy gets really agitated and he wants to yank it down fast. Because it's weakest at that point. Because we've only started a building. It's not finished. It's only starting. So once that building gets started, it's really easy to take down. You just push a wall down. Now you have to start over again. Has anybody ever watched like a house go up? Like the old fashioned way where they're pushing the walls up. There's like 12 guys and they're just pushing one wall up to get it straight. And then they brace it and then they bring another wall up and then they start nailing joists together. Okay, well, guess what? If you're pushing that wall up and the enemy turns around, and as soon as you get it stable, before you put the other one up, he pushes it back down again. You know how long this process can go on for? It's like a funny comedy. But it's not funny. It looks funny from the outside, but what you're not understanding is that's actually somebody's life. And there are people in the church, not just in our church, but in all churches around the world that are going through that every day of their life. And the reason they're going through it is because there's nobody that's want to step up and help maintain what's being built into that person's life so they can get another wall up. So they can have something stable and sturdy. A foundation is just a foundation. But what we're responsible to do in the kingdom is build. And if we're building something, then we need to maintain what we built. All right, so then Timothy gets this charge from Paul. And he's telling him to preach the word, and he's telling him to do this, but there's three major things that he tells him to do when he's doing it. And these three major things are really the keys to maintenance, because they line exactly up with what's being built. And he said, be prepared in season and out of season. First and foremost, what does that mean? We say that all the time in this church. Be prepared in season, out of season. Why? Because you don't know when it's going to happen. The enemy likes to catch you when you're not expecting it. So just like I said, you get that wall up, that's a great opportunity for the enemy to come knock it down. So we got to be prepared in season and out of season. But here's the keys. Ready? Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That whole section is where it's at. Correct, rebuke, encourage with patience and careful instruction. Where's the careful instruction come from? Who did Jesus give us? Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us in that careful instruction process. It ain't about me. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about building the kingdom. If I'm interested, if I have my interest at heart, I better not speak. That's not careful instruction. Careful instruction comes from God. So I have to receive this from God. I have to know that God's telling me there's something going on over here. And then I need to go and carefully figure out, usually observe, and be patient, and see what is lacking. What needs maintenance? Is it their faith? Is it their hope? Or is it their love? There's something that needs maintaining. And it usually shows itself. Because it can fit into those three categories. Is your faith wavering? Is your hope lacking? Is your love not present? So then we get these three instructions. We have to correct, we have to rebuke, and we have to encourage. So let's start at the first one, correction. What is correction? Correction states, definition, to set or make true, accurate, or right. Correction deals with changing something that is flawed or wrongful as far as the way it's being received. A lot of time people perceive correction as, oh, you're just telling me what to do. No, I'm correcting a flawed thought. There's something in your thinking or what you're interpreting here that's incorrect. And it needs to be correct. Because we need to be on the same page. If we're not all on the same page, then there's something wrong. Because what correction is maintaining is faith. Do we all believe the same thing? If we don't, then we need to correct that because we should all believe the same thing. It's a very simple belief. We even have kids that know their ABCs. It's not that hard. So if we don't, if there's a flaw in what our faith states, then we need to correct that. Because guess what happens? When you walk out an incorrect faith, you're leading in deception. You're walking in a deceived lifestyle. And that actually is bad for the body because that actually is a vessel or an avenue that it can become a plague to the body of Christ. It can become a cancer. So as other parts of the body, we're responsible to bring correction to those areas that need to be corrected. Rebuke. What is a rebuke? Now, this one, people get really wound up. Oh, you're rebuking me. Oh, you don't know what a rebuke is. Is if you did, you'd be thanking God and praising Him because of it. What's rebuke? To express sharp, stern disapproval or reprove, reprimand. I use kids here because kids are so awesome. And God even uses kids to really help educate us because we're too stupid to realize things. So kids usually are a really easy way to have us entertained. When your kid does something that you're not, you explicitly said, whatever you do, don't do X, Y, and Z. And your kid does that, what do? Now some people go, oh, well, I have to correct them. No, that's wrong. You corrected them the first time. The second time now, he needs discipline. Because if there's no discipline, then he's going to keep doing it. Right. Or she. Okay? Whenever we're in that place, what happens is we've lost focus on God. That's when a rebuke needs to happen. When my focus has been diverted or directed away from God, that means I'm now going to act on things that are not of God, which is what? Sin. If I'm participating in that activity, again, what does that do to the body? Well, let's look at Achan. What did his sin do to the body? There were casualties, and they were all on him. One hurts, many hurt. So if you're endangering me because of your actions, I'm going to let you know. That's a rebuke. And it's not because I'm being selfish. It's because there's more than just you at stake at this equation. There's many at stake. So this kind of maintenance actually is interchanged with hope. Because what happens when we have sin? What does sin separate us from? And if we're separated from God, we can't have hope in it. We cannot have hope in Him. We cannot have hope in what He's leading us to or directing us to because that relationship has been severed. So a rebuke, a stern disapproval, that's simply, and I think I've been in there and some of us have been in office with Pastor, and he sat down and he's rebuked us. But he doesn't yell and scream and point and holler. He says, I'm really disappointed in you. This is not what you should be doing. And I thought you knew better. You need to fix this. And I'll help you. I will give you the tools. What does he throw at you? He throws the word of God at you. Because that's what's going to judge you. It's not a personal judgment. Again, it's not personal. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. It's not personal. So if you look at a rebuke and you're seeing it a personal affront or a personal attack, you need to change your focus. That's just the sin in you that needs to be taken out of you. Right. Thirdly, encourage. To inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence is what encourage means. Now, this one is the one that is both extremely important but extremely misused. How many times do people encourage when they should be corrected or rebuked? You want to know how religion happens? That's how it happens. We get into a love fest. Oh, you don't understand. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs to be encouraged to do better. No, he doesn't. He needs to be disciplined. You need to spank him. He needs to be disciplined. And if you don't rebuke him, guess what? He's going to keep doing it because you know what you're encouraging? Bad behavior. If we don't encourage correctly, we actually cause things to become mutated or dilapidated. We actually can sever limbs and arms with wrong encouragement because it becomes useless, or it continues to practice wicked things because it's encouraged to do so. It doesn't just suck life from the body. It actually becomes an instrument of the enemy in the body. See, that's what encouragement, if not used correctly, can do. It's so dangerous. It's so wrong in the wrong vessels. There's correction and there's right correction. There's rebuking, there's right rebuking. And then there's encourage. Encourage builds love. It maintains the love that we have for one another. If there is a person who is feeling left, abandoned, struggled, their love is suffering. They need encouragement. Those are the ones that need encouragement. There was a time when Pastor was building this house and he was feeling the pressure and the weight of what God had spoken to him about expanding the 10 pegs, and he was feeling it heavily. He was feeling like there was just a lack of love of God's people, a lack of love and appreciation for what he was sacrificing in listening and obeying God's word. And his daughter came up to him and encouraged him that he was doing the right thing and that he was doing it for the right reasons. Encouragement built his love up, and he was able to be the benefactor of it. He has a great house, and it was able to do what God prepared it to do, which was to house this ministry for longer than anybody here expected. But it wasn't because of any other reason than God's perfect timing. And he was obedient. But there was a point, there was a time where that needed encouraging. See, encouragement helps us reconnect with the person who is the abundance of love. It's hard. Nobody said what we would do was easy. Matter of fact, some people even get the disclaimer before we accept Christ and come into this ministry. Are you sure? Because when you do this, it's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are. Disclaimer. Doesn't mean it's true. It is true. It's 100% true. But some people didn't, you know, weigh the cost. And sometimes that cost comes back and reminds us, and we get a little out. We need to be encouraged that it's okay to give it all up for Christ. We need to be encouraged that it's okay to die to this lifestyle. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem, no, nothing we do is right in the eyes of the world. Everything we do in the eyes of the world is wrong. Because they've become so accepted to the ways of the world and the enemy's ploy that even the word love has been convoluted. The enemy sees the word love and uses it to convey lust. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. Because you don't understand what love is. If you understood what love is, you would understand what God says love is. And the maintenance side of it is, when do we encourage? What needs to be encouraged? Now, maintenance and the importance of maintenance. I'm going to turn to Matthew 24. This is Jesus talking, verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Again, Jesus giving us the keys to the kingdom. Jesus giving us how this is to be worked and how we're supposed to do this. What are we going to have to endure? With proper maintenance, we can endure. With improper maintenance, we won't be able to endure it. It's just not going to happen. What are we able to endure? Persecution, hate, deception, false gospels, even false messiahs. Some will come in the name and say that I am Jesus, I am the Messiah, I've returned. How are you going to know? How are you going to be able to turn away and say, no, you're not? I have to tell you, if you're not maintained properly, and you're living in a dilapidated building, you're going to entertain that Messiah. You're going to entertain that demon that parades itself around, and you will be consumed. Maintenance should be so important to you as your personal walk with Jesus Christ as it is to everything else in your walk. Every day, we're charged to renew our minds. It's not because your mind is busy with all my work and all, I got my kids and all this and all that. I need to renew my mind so I can just focus on you, God. In a very simple way, yeah, that it helps in doing those things. It'll clear your mind and focus you. But in renewing your mind and washing with the Word, you're maintaining the building that is in you. You're maintaining your temple. You're maintaining what Christ has poured out into your life so that when the time comes, you'll be prepared and you can endure. And if we stand firm, the gospel will be preached to all nations. Doesn't that sound like something really familiar in the Great Commission? Because isn't that what we've been charged to do? So, if we maintain, stand firm, we will be able to fulfill that Great Commission. It is a black or white. There is no gray area here. You either can or you can't. You either will or you won't. And a lot of people read stand firm and they retranslate that to stand still. And that's not what it means. That's not what it means at all. Stand firm. When I see stand firm, that's not talking about actually standing. That's talking about maintaining a continual push. Maintain a continual push. I've seen many of these movies, you can watch like 300 or anything like that, they lock their shields and they bring their spears out and they march. And they push and push and drive the enemy back. Why? Because they're firm. They're a firm, moving entity. And guess what we are? A firm, moving entity with the commander-in-chief atop. That's the way, and that's the only way the gospel will be preached to all the nations. You can't preach the gospel to all the nations and stand still. You can't do it. You have to actually go, just like the Great Commission commanded you to do. So stand firm. Go. Not stand still. Stand firm. And when we do this, when we start walking and marching and standing firm as one united front, we're able to go and leave what's behind us and march into new territory. And when we're in new territory, guess what we start with? We start preaching the word. People will listen. It'll touch their hearts. They'll get saved. Then they'll start to learn how to love what God loves. And then guess what? We can start building. And once we start building, then we will maintain that which we built. We will add to us, and that is called expansion. And now we've taken a nation. And now we march a larger front, standing firm. And we move into the next, and into the next, and into the next, and into the next. Do we see where we're going? This isn't new. Maybe it's a new way of hearing it. Maybe it's something new you haven't understood or didn't entertain before. It's not new, because it's been in here since it was written. It's the same thing. The only problem is people have left off one of the most important parts, which is maintain. Just maintain what you built. You maintain it, you won't become religious. Because you'll see the newness in this every single time. I challenge you. See how much maintenance you need. See how much maintenance you're actually lacking. Read the word and see if you get something new. Read your favorite. Go ahead. Go pick up your most favorite passage in Scripture. Or your book, whatever. Pick up your favorite book. Read it. And I guarantee you, you want to talk about how you're maintaining? If you read it and you don't get anything new, you need maintenance. I'll tell you right now, my favorite scripture, I read it every single time I read it, something new. Something new always shows up. And it blows me away. That's how I know I'm being properly maintained. That's how I know. And you want to know how I'm being properly maintained? I allow myself to be properly maintained. That's the part that you play. See, I allow my pastor to speak into my life. I expose myself, not in that way, but I expose everything that is within me so that he can continue to show me something new. And that's what we all need. So examine yourself, just like Scripture commands you to do. Examine yourself and see if you're approved. Use this to test you and see. If you get something new, praise God. You want to know what you should do with it? Implement it into your life as maintenance. And then go and do what he's commanded you to do. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for expanding our vision, God, to just see where those weak areas are in our life, God, in our faith and in our hope and in our love for you, God. And Lord God, I thank you for the relationship that Paul had with Timothy, God, that he was able to just express himself so openly with Timothy and give him that charge of how to not just go and continue to preach the gospel, God, but to maintain that which was being preached. So Lord God, we use your word because it is the only tool, God, that is equipping us thoroughly, God, for every work that you've given us and our charge, God, to go and preach the news to all nations, God. Baptizing them, laying on hands, God, and training them, God, in the way that they should go and making disciples, Lord. This is your plan, God. This is your kingdom, God, not ours. But we are so grateful and so thankful, God, that you've included us, God, into it, Lord. That you've built us, God, to become that which is your kingdom, God. to be that building, God, that you can dwell with us, God, that you would tabernacle with us, God. So, Lord, we just give you all of us, God. Everything that is in us, everything that we have, and everything that we are, God, so that you can do that mighty work in reaching all nations. In Jesus' name, amen.